Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Conscious Thought with Leo on PBS Radio Talk Show. And I am your host, Magdalena Winkler. Well, thank you for tuning in into this bi-weekly show that is dedicated for personal growth, global transformation, and awakening humanity. And as you know, I have every second week a great guest, and this week is not the difference. And you know that I'm always looking for somebody who is kind of supplementing us or helping us, you know, to create a conscious living, healthy lifestyle. And tonight, I wanted to welcome my guest from a life-changing fitness, and it would be Chris Gray. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hi, Magdalena. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Listen, I know that this is your precious time, and you know you had to kind of take away from your work, so I really wanted to appreciate that. But you know, I also know that you are doing an incredible work, and I just wanted to share with the public and with our listener. But before we go further, I would really wanted to add something else. If listener wanted to listen in the station one, the telephone number would be 716-748 0150. And if somebody is interested to interact and have a question, please call us at 888-627-6008. Thank you so much. Okay, Chris, well, listen, let's have a fun tonight because I know we can do that. And first of all, I would really like you to I would like to ask you to kind of introduce yourself a little and give us a little background. How did you kind of get involved in fitness, and what is your biggest passion? And I know you're very passionate about what you're doing.
Yes. Well, I started out as a college athlete, and then went into teaching school and being a strength coach, and also working with special needs people that have had disabilities or issues with their health. And about 25 years ago, I decided I really enjoyed doing the fitness thing outside of those realms. Got involved with personal training and individualized coaching, and spent just over 30 years doing that very thing. And my company originally was Total Body Fitness. It was established back in the 90s, in 1998. And we didn't take the traditional approach to fitness at all. We did more of a holistic approach. And that's what we kind of based everything on. So that's what my fitness company does. We now go by Crave Personal Training and Fitness, and we service people all over the world.
Awesome. You know what? When we are already there, do you mind actually to give people the information? How can they can you know find you on the website, or if they have any information how they can reach you? Let's go there immediately.
Oh, sure. My website is www.crazyfit.com, or you can reach me at my email at crazyfit@gmail.com.
The reason why I'm asking that is that, you know, I, you know, being myself in health and wellness also for over 20 years, I know how important, you know, the workout is and fitness is. And I always encourage my own clients, you know, to step up. And especially when you reach a certain age, you know, we are losing muscles, and that has an incredible, you know, huge impact on the bones. And, you know, that's why from my side as a therapist, I would really like to kind of let people know that the importance of the, you know, fitness. And I would actually like you to kind of, you know, go more into the little details, you know, how do you know, like to kind of help people to see the benefit of the fitness?
Well, the very first thing we do is we do a baseline assessment. We try to sit down with somebody and go over all of their different current behaviors and habits with fitness and with their sleeping patterns, stress management, if they have any pre-existing injuries. We even go over what goes on with them as far as motivation and what we can do to help them as far as coaching them through to more success. We find everybody, whether they're, you know, if we train people that are training for the NFL in athletics or someone who's 85 years old and broke their ankle, we kind of find out all of the different needs by that. And once we have a baseline assessment done, and this includes not just the physical assessment, but also psychological profiling and all of that, then we can really put together something to help the person out.
Mm-hmm. And what is, I could kind of ask you a challenging question. What is actually your age group that is most successful? You know, I mean, I know that, you know, sometimes, you know, there's, you know, when you're dealing with a different age group, there's also, you know, a barrier that you have to overcome.
I think the biggest success we have, we train all ages and all sizes and types of people, but basically it's the over 40, it's the over 50 crowd. I'm spending more and more time with the seniors, and actually started developing a company specializing in senior fitness. We really believe that there's going to be so much more needed by people, and they really appreciate it when they have to kind of have that aha moment when they've been letting their fitness go for 25 or 30 years. And then they come to us, and they've had some major issue go on where the doctor said, you just have to get back in shape, or at least, you know, lose 30 or 40 pounds, or take care of a problem with cholesterol. It's just a varied amount of things that we do to help people out. So it's different. But, yes, definitely the over 50 crowd is the biggest one we have success with.
Yeah, you know, I always say to my clients, I said, you know, if you are over 40, I just have a bad news for you. You just have to work out.
Right. Well, you know, that's the thing too. I laugh about that. Every day people give us the same excuses for why they get fat. And it's always the same three things. It's always time, the money to get to, you know, they can't take away time from their job, it's time, it's family, or some other excuse that keeps them away from exercise. And, you know, we always break it down for people. And, you know, I can give you a really quick way that we do that.
Oh, absolutely. People, take your time. Yeah. You know, well, yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, we break down their week by hours. And we'll say, look, there's 168 hours in a week. So we'll give them 50 hours for working. Because today we don't all work 40 hours anymore. A lot of us work 50 or 60. Then we give them another 10 hours a night for sleeping. So we lose 50 hours a week there, so we're down 118. Then we lose another 70 hours, then we're down again to 58. Then we go from 58 hours to, okay, we're going to have recreation and fun with your family. We'll give you 4 hours a night.
And oh, wow. So not too much TV time, huh?
Right. Well, even that, we give them 4 hours. Right.
Just kidding.
4 hours a night. Right. So that's right. So it's funny because once they find out that they're really actually – they actually can fit fitness into their day, and they have to plan it out. It's actually a very big deal to change your life and change the way you do things. Even though it seems like you just walk over, people think they can just go join a gym and life's going to be better. And so the reality is you have to really think out and plan what you're going to do for your fitness. And you've got to really battle a lot of the friends and family that are going to keep you away from having healthy eating habits or sleeping habits, you know, or avoiding too much alcohol, that type of thing. And it's sometimes it's really hard to make that transition without some help. So people usually realize that they have that aha moment. They say, wow, I've got 25 hours a week. I can actually really work out. And I tell them, hey, you only need 3 or 4. And they're amazed. They're like, wow, I don't really need that much time. So that's our biggest thing is people, they don't know where to start. They don't have a plan of action. And that's what we work with everybody, is your plan of action. So if you're listening to this show right now, if you do nothing else after the show, make sure that you sit down and think about a plan of action for yourself, where you want to be in 6 months or even a year, where you want to be next week as far as, you know, what can you do to change things? And the first thing you want to do is get moving. Movement is everything. And that's why you and I, Magdalena, really get along with that piece, because it lets you move.
Yeah. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah. Well, we always start with structure and function. And form and function and structure of the body are most important. You can't get in shape and lose weight if you have a problem with your lower back or your hip or your shoulder. Mm-hmm. And quite often, a person that's really good in doing reflexology, massage, or trigger point therapy, they really help a lot in helping people release those muscles so they can actually use them the correct way. And that's the thing that's really big with us. We try to network with a lot of doctors and therapists and try to be more holistic about our approach instead of just saying, okay, do this exercise. Because we know that piece doesn't work. One thing never works alone with fitness. So So,
yeah, you know, as you were talking about, you know, I just kind of relieved, you know, you and I, we have a little history working together, you know, when we were in Portland, Maine, we were working together. And yes, and, you know, that was the whole battle always, you know, with people that, you know, you wanted to get them to get also the exercise piece, because yes, it's nice to have a massage, nice to have those things, but you still have to do something additional for yourself.
Yes. Oh, definitely. You know, and the thing is, as well, and I've been very fortunate to be involved with research studies and many different programs that review balance and flexibility and range of motion and recovery of muscle from operations and injuries. And they all connect to the same thing, that if a lot of people go to the therapist after they have an injury, and then when they start feeling better, they stop doing their exercises or stretches to take care of things. And then all of a sudden they have the problem again, and it's exacerbated because they forgot to take care of that problem, and the problem they're preventing has come about. So the body's going to have that thing with one action usually an equal opposite reaction. You know, whatever happens in one spot is going to have a reaction someplace else. So it really is key. And, you know, when you and I were working together in Portland, Maine, you know, we had a really, really strong connection with people with that piece.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I would be able to call and say, hey, you know, did they train a little too hard today? What do you think of this? What should I avoid? And that's a really important piece, because if you're trying to get somebody to fully recover, you know, recovery is a huge piece of fitness. That doesn't mean you go, you know, work out for an hour and take the whole week off. but it does mean that you, when you work out, you don't have to go in and make yourself hurt every time you work out and walk around like a gingerbread boy the next day. You know, you have to make sure you work out hard enough so your body reacts to it. And then you can actually have some recovery. And recovery is definitely aided by massage and muscle release. No question.
Well, yeah, what actually, you know, what we did actually in Maine, we created a network. And I think this is hugely, you know, beneficial for people when they can, you know, kind of synergize, you know, all these modalities. And, you know, I understand the benefit from it. Because in the long run, what I always wanted to say to client is that you have to understand this is not a luxury anymore. It's a lifestyle. Because we are in the 21st century, we are not walking so much outside. So many people are sitting too much, you know, they don't have a motion, they don't walk, and, you know, and they don't go out and they don't go to the on the fresh air. So these are all impacting them. So when you go, you know, for the workout, it's just, you know, revitalizing your whole entire body.
Well, you know, recently I was very fortunate to train a few people that have been at the very world-class competitions and such. And one of the people I just trained last year to climb Mount Everest. And the great thing that happened with him, and he said to me, he said, you know, I never thought about the other parts of training. And he's run many marathons and done a lot of different events, climbed a few, you know, in order to climb Everest, you've got to climb a few other peaks beforehand. And he'd been very successful. But when he got to Everest, he realized his reasons why people don't climb that mountain. It's quite a taxing thing. And, you know, he said, you know, when I trained him, we didn't just do, you know, dry land training and that type of thing. We did apnea training where he went underwater and held his breath and did some different things to get more endurance and thin air training. We did some thin air stuff to assimilate where he's going in the mountain. And he said, you know, it's all these things together. And he couldn't recover until he went to see somebody to do a massage. He did massage twice a week before he left. And when they go to Everest, at the camps, they have a person that does massage. So, you know, it's really important to realize that when you work your muscles and you don't feed them enough and you don't massage and take care of them afterwards or stretch, you know, you're really going to have a longer time to recover, and you really can, you know, have injuries occur very easily. So
yes.
That's something we really talk about. So,
wow. Yeah, I was actually looking for, you know, to ask you if you have actually great stories, because I'm sure, you know, you have great stories, because the stories, you know, when you, share with people, you know, stories, people can relate, you know, much easier to themselves also about that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, the biggest thing we always hear about from my doctors, they tell us quite often, they'll say, look, I've got a medical practice. So I'm not a perfectionist, just practice. And I say, I practice being a doctor and helping people out with some things I can't solve. But if you don't take care of yourself when you're not here, it really makes it harder for me to help you when you are. So it's, you know, it's very, very hard for that to happen. That's why I say the great things. One of the stories that I want to, I should share from Maine that you were involved with, is I had a lady, this girl Barbara, who actually came to me because I was friends with her husband, and she came into my club dragging her foot. And I said, you got to get, you know, she's like, oh, I'll go to, I might be getting surgery, and the doctor doesn't want to operate, we can prevent it at all, we've got to do something. And I sent her for massage, and when we were back and forth about what was going to happen with her, and then I did some different exercises with her to help her out, and I put her in the pool. And months later, she didn't have to have a surgery. And The doctor in Maine, his name was Dr. Padovano. He was a great surgeon up there, very well known for working with the Boston Bruins and a few other athletic teams. People fly in to have his help. And that was one of our success stories up there. And that's when, you know, when Barbara Sylvester was the name. But basically, that's you know, we look over what's going on with the fitness piece. And that's what I wanted to kind of talk about today a little bit, was how we get ourselves to change those poor behaviors and kind of, you know, figure out a way to slowly modify our behaviors through, you know, behavior modification by slowly taking some things away and adding new things into our life to make sure we can get through and have a more fit and healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, go for it. Yes, definitely.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So basically, most of the people that they try to find, in order to have any motivation, they've got to have some purpose for what they're doing. So what we tell people to do is if you're having a hard time, say you start out at a very, very low level of fitness, like you have a hard time getting out of a car, or have a hard time walking through the mall, or have a hard time, you know, it's just really difficult for you to even move around a lot. Well, have people just basically work on standing up and being on their feet for a couple of minutes and moving their feet around, you know, or working on climbing up two steps and coming back down. You know, it doesn't always take fitness equipment to make you get in shape. And sometimes we just have to add an outside stress to make it work. And then we'll give them a goal. Okay, instead of being two steps, it'll be three or four. So basically these goals we set, whether it be someone that's really in trouble with their fitness or someone who's just trying to be more advanced, say someone who's already running a lot of distance running or something, they're trying to do marathons or triathlons, whether someone that's just trying to get in shape for their, you know, for their 40th wedding anniversary, you know, they have to have some certain things. And we use the SMART principle. And the SMART principle was put together many, many years ago to make sure that if you had a goal in mind, you could have the outcome be much better at the end. You'd have a planned outcome before you even started your working for your goal. So what we do, the SMART, S-M-A-R-T, the acronym, it stands for specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound. Okay? So again, if you look at the goals, if you people always say to me, oh, I want to come in, I want to lose weight. And I'm like, well, I want to lose weight. You know, just don't wear your shoes tomorrow. You have no weight, right? I mean, you lose 5 pounds. I mean, people, they don't have specificity to it. So we try to make sure that whatever they're looking to do, what exactly do you want to have happen? Do you want to have be the same weight you were in high school? Are you trying to be stronger? Are you just trying to fit into a certain outfit? You know, what are you trying to accomplish with your, what's your goal? What's your specific thing? And they've got to name that specific thing. The next thing is to make it measurable. And to measure what you want to have happen, of course, in the training world, a lot of people worry about how many inches they have on their body. So we'll measure their body the first day, and then we track it every 3 to 4 weeks. And we measure their body weight, we measure their strength. That's what an assessment does. We measure blood pressure and everything. We have a lot of numbers to go by to help out with what's going on as far as measuring. And we can actually have specific numbers from that in the beginning to have goals for. The other thing is it achievable? Now, I have people come in all the time, and they say, I want to lose 30 pounds. You know, right now, the latest thing is I want to lose 30 pounds by the 1st of June. You know, and I say, well, that's a wonderful goal. And if you're really have a lot of water weight and you're really a terminally obese person, which hopefully these people are not, 30 pounds is achievable. If you're the average person that just has 30 pounds extra weight on you, you're going to take a while to get there because you're going to lose a little weight in the beginning and you're going to stagnate for a while and have to change around your workouts and change around your food. So you're looking, you know, if you have a goal of, you know, 4 months or 5 months, it might be a little better goal for you and to lose it in a healthy way. The fourth thing is for the R is realistic again. A realistic goal again is you know, if someone says, well, I want to go play full court basketball and they have two knees that just got had surgery done on them and they've got a, you know, a spine that's got a fusion with it. Can they play basketball? Of course they can play basketball. They can't play. They quite often can't run and jump and be around the contact sport. They could play in a modified way. But again, you've got to sit down with a client and say, this is what you can do and what you can't, because this is something we've got to have some realistic goals here. And then the other thing is time back. You have to say, I'm going to do this by this time. I'm going to spend this much time doing this. You have to really commit. And commitment, as we know, is the hardest thing to have people do.
So, Guilty?
Yeah. I am as well, you know, and I tell my friends and clients all the time, you know, I'm a fitness guy, but I've got a pizza habit. My pizza habit's got to change. And we try to tell people all the time as well try to at least give them some guidance and say, look, you know, nobody's perfect. And give me 90% of your time trying to be in shape and be fit. And then 10% to yourself, you know, do other things. But, you know, try to really modify your behavior so it's pretty healthy. And you can think about it. If something comes through, another rule we have is if something comes through a window, don't eat it. Okay? So, in other words, if you're going through a drive-through, don't eat the stuff. Don't go through a drive-through because it's never going to be, I don't care what they're serving you. In a lovely state of Maine that I was just at for many years, we had lobster rolls in the drive-through. Those are wonderful. They're awesome.
Oh, no.
Remember those? Yeah. The thing is, the lobster roll is on white bread with butter, and it's got not much of mayonnaise in it. And it's a sometimes food, but it's not something you recommend for a daily activity, not something you recommend to have every day. So, and that's basically it as far as, you know, make sure your goals are specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound. So you know what's going on with that.
Well, you know, Chris, what I also wanted to add to that actually is that, you know, even though, you know, this is right now perfect, and even though somebody, you know, kind of fell off the wagon, they should not beat themselves up and, you know, torture themselves. You know, you could kind of just get up, dust yourself up, and just continue. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise, what I'm recognizing is that if we put a too strong regimen on ourselves sometimes, I mean, if you are not athlete, you are just the regular folks. If you put too much regiment on it, it becomes a second job. And trust me, that's what I recognize when I'm asking my client, why do you don't like to go to workout, to fitness? Because it's a second job. I said, okay, then cut the time maybe.
Well, there's a couple things that go along with that. Some people can get away with, if they're a really methodical person, they can do it as a second job. They can, you know, say, okay, my activity 3 days a week is this. I will do this at that time. Most of us do not fall in that realm. Most of us do not. One of my clients is a retired banker, and he comes in Monday, Wednesday, and Friday methodically and does 2.5 hours of a workout. And he tells me he hates every bit of it, but he does it. He does. And he's in tremendous
shape. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Most of us don't do that. Most of us, the thing is, and you also notice, if you watch these athletic events, and I trained for the Olympic team and everything years ago, and I spent a lot of time lifting very heavy weights and doing a lot of things with plyometrics and all those things where people do leaps and bounds. Most of my peers have really bad backs and bad knees now from what we did back in the 80s. I'm very blessed not to have those. But basically, if you look on TV, the big things are promoting, they have this CrossFit going on. And you see the CrossFit games, all the guys have tape on their backs, which is what a lot of therapists use to hold muscles in place because they're kind of all shot. And they all have braces on their knees and things on their elbows. You know, you've got to find your niche as far as coming in and being safe when you train. And make sure you have someone that actually has a college background or several years fitness background and certifications and licensing. To help you out, because we're finding a lot of people that come to us. We always get the people afterward. They always go. They have these plans. Oh, I'm 35 years old, and I'm going to be like I was in college, and I'm going to go lose 50 pounds at CrossFit. And they lose 25 pounds and they come see us because the doctor's already worked on them, the surgery, you know, or they have an issue where they have so much going on with tendonitis and arthritic issues or compartment syndrome or anything going on where they really abuse their joints. Because they go from doing nothing to, you know, marathon status. And we get to go, and the biggest thing with fitness is just go from, if you're doing nothing, just do something. You know, we talk about that all the time with people. If you just get out and go for a walk for 20 minutes, and guess what? The next day, go for 21 minutes. You know, you don't have to sit. Have your whole life to stay to get in shape. You know, about 80% of it is the food you're putting in your mouth. You know, about 18% is the exercise, and 2% is your genetics. People always talk about, well, my parents were overweight, or, you know, I'm not going to be a small person, and those things. And we do have different body types. But most people have eating habits that were transferred from their parents. And they learned how to cook and eat and everything with their parents' help. And then thankfully, their parents fed them well. But their parents also had parents, and their parents were, here in the U.S., were in the Depression. And they have a lot of depressive behaviors where they just load up on a lot of fried foods and carbohydrates and things where they have, you know, that's what they could afford to eat back then. Or they're, you know, they live in a location where they don't have enough food, you know, when they're children or what have you. And now they're trying to kind of make up for it, you know. And we have a lot of people that are classic overeaters and eat through their problems. So that's kind of where we're at with things as far as the fitness. You know, 80% is what you're eating, and the other 20% is stuff that you and I do, Max, as far as the fitness and the massage and working on people's bodies. Very, very important.
Yeah. You know, Chris, what I was also looking for to add as you were talking about the braces and everything else, you know, my own experience, what became is that, you know, when people are out the alignment with their body and they go for a workout, I had a lot of examples, people that, you know, out the alignment, they went for the yoga, and then after that, they are hurting so much. And so I was always kind of trying to encourage them, talk to your trainer and tell them how do you feel. But guess what? A lot of people are afraid to speak out, you know, to do either the yoga trainer or fitness trainer and tell them, listen, this is what I'm dealing right now. Is this anything else you can tell me, or, you know, kind of direct me? So I think that would be also another crucial issue, just to let people know about that.
Yeah, you know, it really is. It's really, really is crucial. And the thing is, sometimes if they do have a negative interaction with their trainer, it's because the trainer doesn't know. They don't know what to say to them and what to use for an exercise. And quite often the trainer will not make the effort to call the other professional to help them out. And that's what we're really involved with. As you know, we network as much as we can because we never claim we know everything. We know a lot about a lot of things, or in my case, I know a little about a lot of things. But basically, when we do that, you know, we don't ever want to be worried about having another practitioner jump in and help out, you know. So if they're scared about talking to their trainer's usually, most people that become trainers are very accepting and willing to listen to people. If they don't do that, then you want to really think about who you have for a trainer and look someplace else.
Oh, absolutely. And this is why I'm kind of, you know, addressing this issue, that a lot of the time is that, you know, people are afraid to tell to the trainer, but the trainer should be also, you know, aware enough about their own, you know, clients or people who they're training, you know, and ask them, are you okay? You know, are you hurting, or what's really going on? Because without that, you know, that look, like I said, the clients will be afraid, or even they would not know that they can actually speak up.
Exactly. Well, part of that too is a lot of trainers kind of wing it. People come in to work out with them. They don't have a plan for their client. They don't have, like we talked about, having that assessment done and sitting down and going, what's our plan for this? You know, and the other piece is too that, you know, the behavioral part, people like yourself, Magdalena, that help out with the life coaching piece is huge, because, you know, sometimes we need to get past a few other thoughts in our heads, the emotional piece and the spiritual piece. Mm-hmm. You've got to kind of address those, because if you're not feeling the energy for what you're doing with the fitness, you're not going to be doing the right way. You're going to have to take a lot longer to get down that path of health and wellness. So it's really important to look at that piece as well. So I think there's a lot more going on with that, though.
Yes, exactly. Well, this is what I was just trying to add. As I'm listening to you, I'm recognizing that, you know, there are so many other stuff involved in this fitness, that fitness is actually the smallest piece, you know, the workout, practically what you're doing, you're practically gearing your clients in from all aspects. So as you were saying, holistically, so, you know, kind of trying to align them, and then it makes much easier for them to work out, actually.
Well, yes, exactly, and you're right. And the thing is, we found, you know, with watching over the years and watching different people and how they went through the process of training people and helping them out as far as reaching their goals, that they didn't reach all the different parts of it, as far as talking to them about their sleeping habits and their eating habits and, you know, stress management and recovery. You know, it seems like a very complicated thing, and it can be. But if you don't address those things, then you don't have success, and you don't have it come to you as quickly. Our biggest thing is we make sure that we tell our clients. We say, and it probably sounds very very tough to hear the first day. We always say, hey, just come in and do what I say. Then do it and follow the plan. That's how we tell you. Do what I say. If you have a question, you're welcome to ask and all that. But I'm going to do all the thinking for you. I'm going to do all the research for you. I'm going to check around on things, see what I can do to help out. If you have something going on where you don't feel comfortable with it, or you've got a problem, an injury or pain or something you're not comfortable with, we can really help you out with that. Just let us know. We're not constructive criticism, we're happy with it because it's your body we're working on.
Yeah, absolutely. Time, you know, and this is actually pretty awesome because, you know, yes, it is scary for the first time, especially, you know, if somebody's, you know, sensitive emotionally to this kind of attitude, you know, it can kind of scare them. But, you know, just to recognize that, you know, if you are trying to fly the airplane, or you're a bus driver, or if you're a CEO of this incredible company, if you don't have the skills, then, you know, I cannot fly the plane because I don't have the skills. You know,
exactly.
So that I have to go and sit in the plane and let somebody else fly for me. You know what I'm saying? And so with the fitness is the same thing. Is that so? You know, somebody can help you, and then down the road you will understand why. You know, all those steps.
Yeah, we have an educational approach. Me being a former teacher and everything, that's our piece. We try to wean people away from the training. And it sounds crazy sometimes. People say, well, what do you mean? You're a trainer. You're a personal fitness coach. Why would you want me to not be working with you? Isn't that your job? Isn't that how you make your money? And I always say to them, well, I make a living very happy, very happily, because what I do is I try to teach you as much as I can to help out with your fitness. We try to find out what works best for you. After you've learned hundreds of exercises, you've learned how to eat correctly for you, what works for you keeping weight off and being healthy and getting rid of stress. Once you're done with that, instead of seeing us a couple of times a week, which we suggest a couple times with us, a couple times without, then you're all set. And you can come back and see us once a week or once a month or check in every 6 months for a workout. We're happy to do that because it's all about teaching people about fitness. You know, and that's the piece that I think is really lost a lot of times with a lot of the professionals around us. If they don't stay on task as far as helping somebody out, it's about that piece. And when people are not with us, they have a plan of action. They follow exercises and food plans and journals and all that. And that's what's really the thing that keeps them getting in shape really quickly. It helps them as far as in the future. They can be weaned away and go without us and do awesome. And we love to hear back from people when they've had great success. And the crazy thing about that is, they send us a bunch of people. We get referrals. And right now, I'm averaging 2 a day. So it's pretty crazy.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So, it's, you know, people say, well, that's not 2 a day. What's is that a big deal? Well, for a couple of people, for one person doing this thing, it's pretty good in this area. So we think the biggest thing for that, again, it's always about the client. It's always about what that person needs. And if you have any people that are listening to this right now and they have questions about stuff, they're welcome to call in and say, hey, you know, I have this problem. What do I do? Because most of the questions you might be afraid to ask people, we've answered them every day. We deal with it every single day. People will come to us with all kinds of crazy questions and all kinds of great questions. And most of the questions people have are not crazy. They're normal. And
well, absolutely. You know, this is why I say is that, you know, I think this is why I was looking forward to address that, because people, you know, they think it's a silly question or the crazy question. In reality, it's just a regular question. It may seem silly to them, but because it's your profession, you know, to you it's normal.
Yeah, it is. And that's the thing. It's like for us, it's, and every day we hear from people about, and they say, wow, you know, like, I teach some senior fitness classes right now where I help out with a program that's sponsored by a lot of insurance companies called Silver Sneakers, or another one called Silver and Fit, where the insurance companies actually pay for the membership for people to come to the gym because they really believe in keeping them fit. And they know that if we work out, it prevents illness. And especially as we get older, we have to make sure we keep up our balance and strength and range of motion and load-bearing exercises. And so a couple of my clients came to me and said, they said, hey, you know, I'm always busy. I have a hard time. I get up and I feel busy. And I said, well, have you talked to your doctor? And he said, yeah, I've got vertigo, I think. And I said, well, do you use NutraSweet or fake sugars in your diet? What are you taking for, you know, what do you do when it comes to having a cup of coffee? And we go, and they would tell me they would use, you know, 10, 12 or 15 packets a day of these artificial sweeteners. And mm-hmm. I had heard from the doctors I work with that quite often will cause vertigo. So I told them it might cause vertigo, take it out of your diet, and lo and behold, you know, they didn't have vertigo. So and one of the symptoms had decreased significantly. So those things are very simple. I know I'm not a licensed nutritionist. I'm no superstar with a nutritional piece. I give advice for what I can. I don't practice that, you know, that I'm a nutritionist. I do have people that help me out that are. But basically the simple things we hear about, because we hear about fitness stuff every day, it's very common to have questions, like you said, very questions you wouldn't normally ask. But
well, yeah, Chris,
do,
I see
help.
This look like you're sharing the information, actually. And then they can
exactly.
go to their own doctors and then say, okay, listen, this is the story what I heard. What do you think about?
Exactly. And it just happened again this last week. We had a person that had a problem with falling over a lot, and she didn't realize she had a major curvature of the spine and some other issues, but she was actually pressing some muscles were firing the wrong way. We did an assessment on her and said, please go see your practitioner. And then it was a chiropractor that found the problem with her.
And that's a key. See, this is the key about the networking with the different professionals. That's so awesome. That's what I find pretty incredible.
Yeah, and this woman had been to a bunch of neurologists and everything, and the chiropractor said, oh, it's this. You had this going on. And that's what's happening. That's what she thought. And then the chiropractor called the neurologist. The neurologist talked to the chiropractor. Then they called me and said, hey, this is what we have going on. And we've had some great success. So this nice lady who was having a hard time literally having stuff go on with some issues of collapsing and such from things firing the wrong way has had some great recovery. So these are common things. And we just want to make sure that when people are thinking about their fitness and their health, and you know, it is a holistic approach. You know, and we're looking at that piece. And the reason my company changed the name from Total Body Fitness, which I love that name, but we changed to just my last name with Life Changing Fitness, is because I did a survey with our clients, and I said, what would you tell people about your experience? And it says, life changing. And that's the hardest thing. And Magdalene, maybe you can tell us more about what you think about change. I mean, change, to me, you may be able to lighten a little bit more on this topic, because it's the hardest thing for people to go through. Even if it's a good change, they have a hard time.
I'm into that one.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny. They did a survey with people that won the lottery, and they said, wow, you won millions of dollars. Oh, life must be great. And they're like, wow, you know, I hate the change. You win $1 million, and then what, you know? They said, boy, it's really hard. They never realized if they won all that money, what they would do with it, what would happen with their friends and family. And I think we quite often we're scared to change because we're so comfortable. Even if it's an uncomfortable place, we know it, so we don't want to change. And,
well, that's that's the biggest issue, Chris, you know, that especially right now that, you know, with the changes is that, you know, we are shifting in the with the ages too, that, you know, what we could, you know, a lot, maybe 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you know, when you were 40, you were old, you were getting older. When you hit 50, you are old. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
and today,
right.
People with 70, 75, they are still young. So that's why I strongly believe that, you know, fitness is becoming a lifestyle, so you cannot escape it. I mean, yes, you can. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, it gives you this incredible benefit if you can incorporate this as a lifestyle because, you know, it keeps your muscles healthier. It, you know, your flexibility, as we were talking about, and especially, you know, for the certain, you know, the older generation. It's very important.
Right. Exactly. You know, with the body, you know, a lot of part of the depression, you know, you and I both were in the state of Maine for a while. And we know Maine was where they kind of coined the phrase seasonal depression. And depression, as you know, comes from not just the mental piece, but the physical piece happens because of having issues as far as digestion and muscle strength and flexibility and all these things. They all do play a part in how you feel. And it does come out emotionally as well. And the thing is, when we find people that exercise, and quite often if they're stuck in all winter, they start having people take vitamin D, you know, to help out with that because they're getting enough sunlight. You know, we found some great changes in people. It's been amazing. The association I'm involved with, National Strength and Conditioning Association, they have a wonderful journal they send to us all the time. If you become involved with them as a strength coach or as a personal trainer, I'm a certified strength conditioning specialist. They send this journal from all over the world, the studies they've done. And the journals, I'll tell you, since the mid-90s, the early 90s when I started reading this journal, which has the top schools and the top research places in the world sending these articles into them, they keep on agreeing on the same thing. Is that they say, well, you want to feel better, exercise. They don't say you want to feel better eating ice cream. They say you want to feel better, exercise. And exercise, as we talked about earlier, can be any form where you're moving the body to do something different to change the way the body reacts, and it will adapt to it quickly. Most people, when they first start exercising, will quite often overdo it, and they feel what they call DOMS. Now, did I explain DOMS earlier? I didn't think I did explain DOMS earlier. And DOMS is another acronym we use. It's DOMS. And that's for delayed onset muscle soreness. So they feel like $1 million the first day they work out. They feel about like $1 million the second day they work out. And the third day they're asking for ibuprofen and they call in to work because they're so sore. Because they don't realize that the muscles in the body, they delay their response. The cells realize something happened, and then all of a sudden, you feel like you're crippled. So, you know, there's a lot of things that having a fitness professional help you out with really do matter because they can explain to you this is going to happen to you. And we're actually putting that together for our people right now. We have a thing going on where we're trying to explain this is what's going to happen the first few weeks. This is how you're going to feel. These are the biggest battles you've got to work with, and help people out so they can actually understand that it's not abnormal to have muscle soreness on occasion, to, you know, have a hard time quitting soda or quitting, you know, too much coffee or what have you. And then when they know that, they feel much more comfortable in staying with it. And I think ignorance is not bliss at all. Ignorance with fitness has never been a good thing.
Well, also, you know, if they are sore, you can always send them for a massage. Not a big deal.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's funny you say that, Magdalena, because, boy, do I wish you were up here. When I had you helping me here in the state of New Jersey, you had a following of literally 24 hours, and we still had people asking about you all the time. So if you ever get tired of Tampa, you can always make your way back up here.
thanks for the invitation.
Yeah. Well, we were just chatting about that today because I have a couple of clients. I said, you know, I'm going to start getting massaged at least once a week. And they're like, really? Isn't that expensive? And I said, well, not having it's a really big price. You know, well, I feel
listen,
so much better.
Listen, we will do this differently. We will kind of get you entire fitness here to Tampa and then, you know, we can work together.
There we go. Well, I'm hoping you're going to have an outlet
listen,
there pretty soon.
Talking about changes.
Yeah. What's the other topic we can go to? Yeah.
Yeah, so, exactly. Chris, also, I would actually like to actually ask you that, I wrote down, that you're working also with small groups, sport conditioning and pre and post rehabs and senior health and teen fitness. I would like to actually, to kind of give me a few minutes on the teen fit. How do you approach the teen fitness? Because I think that's very important.
Well, why'd you ask that? Because, teenagers, the big thing with teenagers, parents come to me all the time, and it's almost getting more often than they used to. They're having a tough time. The teenagers having a hard time with adjusting with grades and responsibilities and all the normal things we deal with as teenagers. And they're messing up at school and they don't know what to do as far as talking with their parents, and they can't figure out what's going right or wrong. And they'll come to me for a couple of different reasons. One, that they're trying to make an athletic team. They know that I know how to, we have the skills and the background to help them get ready and prepare to do better in sports. They know that piece. But that's not really what most of the teenagers come to us for. Most parents send us teenagers to help them with behaviors that are occurring and get rid of and have some stress management. And when teenagers start really working out and seeing, because they're so externally motivated, there's so many people that judge you in high school by your appearance and what you have and, what your parents do, that it's a really big thing. And these kids have had some excellent success with that. And we basically bring them through a program where they have to be very responsible. And they give us a journal. And as you know, Magdalena, journaling is a huge thing for all of us, if we can keep a journal and have a plan. And then they're responsible to bring the journal in to me. And then the parents also will write in the journal as well. So we keep track of their behaviors with us and how they're responsible and whether they're responsible or not or working hard. And the parents use the personal training as a reward. They don't use it as just something to, go to another therapist or another doctor. They use it as a reward, and the kids are willing to really work hard and stay with it. So it's a really, we just found that the teenage population, because of all the outside influences today, if you have a phone, you have access to the entire world, all the good and bad in it. And
that's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and kids are running. They're being so active and so quick with everything. They really have to stop and think, and they have to get some help and guidance. They don't ask for guidance from their parents, and they quite often are embarrassed to ask the coach or what have you for extra help. So sometimes an outside influence. Especially someone who's, most personal trainers, those people that work with my company are goofballs. And they just are, they're, hey, how are you doing? They're always happy and they're always ready to go because they stay fit. And that really is a good thing to influence a teenage person with. So we do a lot of that stuff.
Absolutely, and I know we had so many conversation about that you're gearing more, you really like, to spend, your passion is more with the older, with the seniors, and my passion is actually more helping teenagers because, they are young and you can have this incredible impact on them to gear them in the right direction by, supporting them. And I wrote actually even the word down that what I'm recognizing here, what we need is the incredible amount of interaction. Networking interaction is the key here. Practically, you're building yourself a community around.
It's very important, and I do mention the seniors, they do appreciate the help and all that. We have a pretty good feeling about all populations, that as far as the teenagers, and we have people, a lot of our middle-aged people that we work with they're successful in their job, they're successful in a lot of different ways, but they still need some help as far as stress management and being healthy and getting themselves moving. It's quite often most of our clients, they sit in a desk for 8 to 10 hours a day. And even on weekends they're working because they can't get things done in 40 hours anymore. So we have everybody, once they start, quite often appreciates what's going on and finds a need for it. But getting to the point where they ask for help, like you mentioned earlier, is very, very hard.
Absolutely. And, I think that's a huge, maybe also one of the key words here, ask for help here.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the thing. If you can, you know, if you find a place, and the thing is, you want to meet people that are willing to sit down with you and not and just discuss what your needs are before they start throwing you into exercises and telling you to jump on a bike or pick up a big weight or anything else. You want to really have the person know what you need, what you want, because it's about you. It's not about the trainer. It's not about the, you know, the gym that you join. It's about what you need to have happen and finding a way to achieve your goals. And I know, you know, we talk about, you know, goal setting and all that all the time. And sometimes goal setting can be very, you know, be too much for people. But, you know, having a plan, and not necessarily a goal, but a plan of action that someone that knows what's going on with your body, can evaluate your body, help you go from point A to point B, that's a really important piece of fitness.
And it's not just, Chris, it's not just a goal, but what you're doing, actually, you are, you know, redirecting the lifestyle. That's a goal in itself.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. And, you know, they're keeping that energy there. Because when you don't have energy for something, you can't make anything happen with that. So, you know, we look at that whole piece. And as far as when people are looking over their behaviors, and as far as, you know, say, well, behaviors include everything. And quite often they'll say, look, I can't afford to have a trainer or afford to get a massage. And, you know, it's funny. We sit down with people. We break down what they're doing with their eating habits. And quite often just their eating habits cause them to waste a lot of money on food they eat out. They spend $20, $30, $40 a day on eating food that they shouldn't be eating anyways. So
I just wanted to kind of throw it, because we are getting to the end of the radio show, but I really wanted to kind of add another piece. What I am fascinated about, that you were talking about your folks looking for to, you know, help people to get lunch at your place.
I'm sorry.
Lunch.
Yes.
You know, food.
Yes. As far as, oh yes, we actually, our company is going to be having. We have a person that's going to be they own a restaurant and deli business already. We're not going to be doing any deli stuff, of course, for fitness. But they are going to start providing meals for us, pre-made meals for our clients. At an affordable price, with all the ingredients on the outside of the package, so you know what's in it. And they're going to start making that available to us once a week. Our clients will be able to order, even if they're not our clients, to be able to order food and have it delivered to them within 48 hours of ordering it. So it's a pretty cool thing. We could actually set up. So there's no way to get out of it saying, "Well, I bought the wrong food. Or I didn't do this. I didn't do that." We decided to go the extra mile and kind of put together a program so that the food could be available that was healthy for people. And it's not something that's got a lot of sodium or it's frozen or anything else. You can see a lot of these other meal plans that they put out there where they give you some processed salted food. It's really good. We're excited about it. And
you folks are stepping up with new possibilities in offering people, which is pretty amazing.
I think it's great. I appreciate you saying that. It's really great stuff. We're excited about it. The biggest thing we're looking at, too, in the future is, we're going to be opening up a facility here in northern New Jersey. We haven't found the exact location yet because we're trying to find the perfect spot to service our clients. But our biggest thing is to do more networking and getting more involved online and get out into the social network a little bit more, because we want to spread the word of what we can do to help people out.
Chris, because we are getting to the end of the hour, I would really like you kind of summarize practically, so in few sentences, practically what is the life-changing fitness about, and also give out you a website again.
Sure. Okay, I appreciate it. Basically, life-changing fitness starts out with you sitting down and doing a little self-reflection. Look in the mirror, what's going on with yourself, and, you know, try to take things in baby steps. So basically, the first thing is to look at what's going on as far as things you've made for changes that might be that are in need of help. If you're having a lot of sweets and fried foods, and you're not exercising, you're not meditating or praying or other things that help out your emotional health, you really want to look at those things and try to find some help from somebody. The local YMCA will help you with some of those things. But quite often, you want to go to a specialist, and you can find those in so many different facilities now. Life-changing fitness for all of our clients is basically coming in, making a plan. If you want help with that, you can always contact us. We're on, our website is www.crazyfit, that's crazyfit.com. Or you can send us an email at crazyfit@gmail.com.
Awesome. That is so awesome. Well, Chris, I really wanted to appreciate, you know, being here today on the show. And it was pretty awesome because there's always, you know, great information you share with me. And I am hopeful, you know, I am hoping that, you know, our listener had, many questions answered and they can actually get a great benefit from the fitness. And, you know, the I understand that fitness is not so bad if you know how to do it.
That's exactly it. You know, and the thing is, if you, you know, like we said before, if you don't know it, ask somebody. Don't just ask your friend or your family member because they're different than you are. They're not the same person you are. So, you know, think of what your needs are and take some baby steps, but don't be scared to jump in the cold water and start working out.
Exactly. And before we are closing, I would also actually like to let our listener know that I'm hosting a two-day seminar in Tampa on May 23 and 24. It's about the eternity of person's identity to extension of person identity to eternity, and is a totally new cutting-edge technology for the consciousness. So, folks, if you're looking forward to step out the box, come to Tampa on May 23rd and 24th. I'm looking forward to see you there. Well, Chris, thank you so much, and I appreciate your participation here and, you know, saying say hi to life changing fitness. Have a good one. Good night, everybody.
Thank you so much, Angela. Have a great night. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you, folks, for tuning in. Thank you. Bye.